Thank you, Lord, that as you flow through us, you will cause ripples to happen in the world that we live in. We thank you, Lord, that whether we're conscious of it or not, your Spirit will reach out and it will begin doing the work. So we thank you for opening the doors to us, opening our hearts, opening our minds, and allowing us the privilege to understand how you are trying to work through us. So we give you the praise and the glory. We ask that as we speak today, that revelation knowledge would hit all of your people today, that they would understand exactly how to apply the word to their lives, that they might see you manifest in new and fresh ways. We thank you that everything you teach us, we will then go teach the world and teach the nations. In the mighty name of Jesus, we give you praise. Amen. Amen. All right. I need you to do something for me before we get too deep into the word. We have a couple of people that we are praying for because there have been some challenges by the adversary. Today's message, I want you to understand, will explain why there are attacks. But I want you to listen very closely to the word. Remember to pray for a couple of people. We're going to pray for Sabrina's, at the close of service, we're going to pray for Sabrina's family. One of her family members passed away, so she's down in New Orleans with them. We have another family that was on vacation, and one of them was attacked physically, so we're going to pray for them. And we have other people that are traveling right now that we just want to be in prayer for, that as they go forward, that God would give them favor and God would allow them to do what they need to do. So as we're doing that, and the reason I mention that is because I want to begin in the book of Luke chapter 4. So if you have your Bibles, will you turn to the book of Luke chapter 4? And as I said, I want you to listen very close today. We've been talking about the flow, and we know that the flow refers to the Holy Spirit's operation in the lives of us. So we appreciate God giving us understanding about how he works in our lives. In the book of Luke, Jesus is baptized in Luke chapter 3. And after Jesus is baptized, it says that he came out of the water and a dove descended on him, and it was the Holy Spirit. And the voice of the Father spoke. So in Luke chapter 4, now Jesus, after being baptized, we find out what happens next. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Are you there? Are you sleepy today? All right, I'm just trying to check and make sure. All right. Y'all got to talk to me now. Come on. Are y'all sleepy? No. All right, now I believe y'all awake. All right. Jesus then, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing. And afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. Let's go to the next thing. Let's go over to the same book, the book of Acts chapter 4, and we're going to flip over to verse 14. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out throughout all the surrounding region. So Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit came upon him, and in verse 1, it says that the Spirit drove him into the wilderness in order to be tempted by the devil. He was driven by the Spirit into the wilderness, a place of nothingness, a place where there's no benefit there, there's nothing there for you, a wilderness. He was driven into this wilderness by the Holy Spirit. In the Christian world, we sometimes think when people go through hard times that they did something wrong, or that they're living under the curse, or that something else is going on. But this passage says that he was driven by the Spirit into a wilderness. He was driven by this wonderful, sweet Holy Spirit that came down on him like a dove. The Spirit, while he was filled, drove him into the wilderness. He was pushed by the Spirit. He was compelled by the Spirit to go into this wilderness place. There he was hungry. He was tempted by the devil for 40 days. He ate nothing. Then verse 14 says, Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. Wait a minute. If I'm filled with the Spirit, don't I have the power? No. You don't get the power until you walk in the Spirit. You don't get the power until you pass through the wilderness. You don't get the power until you have faced the challenge and walked through the challenge filled with the Spirit. When you come out in power. See, some people want power without anything ever happening to them. The weightlifters used to say, no pain, no gain. But the church does not want pain. But we always want some gain. Amen? It's okay to say amen. If as a believer, you don't submit to entering the wilderness, you can never fully experience the power of God. Wow. See, Jesus was driven by the wilderness, by the Spirit, but the Spirit, doesn't say the Spirit dragged him in. It said the Spirit drove him in. In other words, he was willing to go. And there are seasons in life where you have to be willing to go through hard things in order to receive the power. Now, our series has been called The Flow, and we're talking about the Holy Spirit coming into our lives and the Holy Spirit filling us up, and we're all excited because we know how good it is to have the Holy Spirit move in us. We know how good it is to experience the anointing of God, and when you're minding your own business, all of a sudden you see God do miraculous things around you. We love that, and it's wonderful, and it is powerful, and also you need to know that when you get filled, you will have to go to the wilderness. You will need to go to the wilderness in order to understand the presence of God in your life. Because sometimes you really don't get it until you go through. Sometimes you don't really understand what's happening around you until you experience some suffering, until you experience some challenge, until you have something pushed against you to know that you don't have to be pushed back. So Tracy was speaking kind of prophetically. We were singing that song, I Won't Go Back. And he was saying, we can't go back. The Spirit has taken us somewhere. We can't go back. We can't go back. Why? Because if you understand that the Spirit is in you, you can't be pushed back. You can step back if you want to step back, but you can't be pushed back. Because there's something in you that's greater than the one on the outside. Jesus went into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, and he returned from temptation with power. What stands between the believer and releasing the power of the Spirit is the day of temptation or challenge. Satan is always going to stand between you and your destiny to get you not to go through. He's going to try to get you not to go through. He's going to get you to try to find the easy way out. He's going to get you to go back. He's going to try to get you to go back. He's going to try to persuade you that where you are is good enough, that there's no need to go forward. There's no need to activate my gifts and talents. There's no need to press on. There's no need to fight back. There's no need to do those things. Just take life as it comes. But you weren't born for the wilderness. But you got to go through the wilderness. When God came to the children of Israel being slaves in Egypt, he said, I'm going to bring you out and I'm going to deliver you. They didn't want to leave at first because they were scared to leave. But then when their boldness rose up and they decided to follow Moses out into this wonderful promised land that Moses has promised them. Man, it's a land flowing. God told me it's a land filled with milk and honey. We're going to go there. Yes, all right, let's do that. They leave and they get that initial benefit of the Egyptians giving them gold and silver and asking them to go when they had been slaves. They went out, they crossed the Red Sea miraculously, and they went where? To a wilderness. They went into a wilderness. God took them out of bondage, blessed them, and sent them into the desert. And halfway into the desert, they started to cry. We wish we never came out here. Moses brought us out here to kill us. We had it so much better when we were slaves making bricks without straw. They wanted to go back. It's natural human nature to want to go back when things get tough. Because all the while they were screaming out to God. The reason God came and delivered them because it said, the cry of my people has come up to me. They were crying to get out of slavery. But once they got out and they got into life and they had some challenges, they were ready to go back where they cried to come out from. See, understand the nature of the human being. The nature of the human being is to be free. That's what we want. We want freedom. But we have to understand our freedom was given away. And so now every time we get freedom, we rejoice. But when we have to fight for freedom, we hesitate. But the goodness of the Lord has given us the understanding that Jesus himself modeled that you're going to have to go through the wilderness and come out. But when you come out, you're going to come out with power. He came out in the power, not of his own power. Not the power of a good testimony. Amen. The power of the Spirit. Amen. That's not dependent on me. It's not dependent on my intelligence or my strength. We've been talking about that over and over. We've been talking about the flow of the Holy Spirit. We're not dependent on us. We're dependent on the power of God that's given to us, that resides with us. Wow. Let's go over our series, what we've covered so far. Now, there have been a series of messages in the series. Now, let's go to the next slide. I want to go over this real quick. And we get ready to kind of dig a little deeper here. Well, let's just do that way. However I set it up is how we'll do it. Amen. Galatians chapter 5. If you got Galatians, let's turn over to Galatians chapter 5. And I want you to read this. Now remember, they were required to go through the wilderness and to fight for their redemption. They had to stand. The same way the New Testament believer in the book of Galatians starts to have Paul, when he wrote the book of Galatians, is talking to them about battling flesh, about fighting with your flesh, about being free. And he says this in verse 16, but I say, walk in and live habitually in the Holy Spirit, responsive to and controlled and guided by the Spirit. Then you will certainly not gratify the cravings and desires of the flesh of human nature without God. See, the flesh is that human nature without God. Somebody says, well, don't call me a sinner. Well, you have to understand, I can call you a sinner because all of humanity is sinners. See, I used to not want to be called sinner because I didn't want somebody looking down on me, calling me a sinner. Why are you looking down on me, calling me a sinner? I'm not looking down on you, I'm just telling you the truth. You're born in sin. Just like I was born in sin. I was born with a flaw that's connected to my nature, not connected to my behavior. My behavior just manifested that. But what's the problem is not my behavior, it's what's in me. It's the fact that in me is the desire for self-preservation, to take care of myself rather than others. What's in me is the desire to cover my sin rather than to open my sin. What's in me is the human nature that is flawed, that puts me on the throne rather than my creator. Now we understand this very simply. If a child is born and the child hits 12 years old and he says, I'm the king of this house, we say, no, you're not. Yes, I am. I'm the king of this place. I'm running things around here. I'm in charge of my own life. I'm doing what I got to do. Fine, take your two little toothpicks that you own and then go out to the world and see what happens. We understand that, don't we? Why? Because he didn't buy this stuff. He don't own this stuff. So it's easy for us to understand when he goes out, he doesn't own anything. He doesn't have anything. But the human being doesn't realize we're 12-year-olds in God's house. Wow. We're in God's world, where God's created the atmosphere, where God has provided, where God has done everything, and we're saying, we're in charge. We run this thing. No, you don't. You might think you run it because you're mowing the lawn or you're taking care of a handful of things, but you're not running this place. See, as human beings, that's what we don't get. We don't get that God is the one that's in charge. And so we want to reject God's authority and say, we're in charge. But you're not in charge. God is still the ruler. God is still the overseer. God is still the one. So when we think about what we've been talking about in this series, we've been talking about the benefit of the one who owns everything coming to live on the inside of us and giving us access to all things. So we talked about a few different things. We talked about receiving the promise of the Father. We talked about God using us to become fishers of men. We talked about having forgiveness and breaking down the things that clog a dam in us, that stop the flow of the Spirit from operating in us. We talked about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that you have to know that God doesn't live outside, God lives inside, and that you understand that. It's one thing for God to be the ruler of the heavens. It's another thing for him to rule inside. Wow. We talked about being thirsty for God, that God doesn't pick the beautiful and the wonderful. He doesn't pick the talented. He picks the thirsty. Yeah. Those that are thirsty for him, thirsty for his will, thirsty for the things of God. And then there's a deeper thirst that you can go to. Is that being just thirsty on the surface, God can take you deeper and have you do things from inside. Last week we talked about expanding the kingdom, and today we're going to talk about releasing the Spirit. Wow. So Jesus released the Spirit by going into the wilderness and having temptation hit his life. So now let's go to Galatians and let's look at this and take it a little deeper. Overcoming the flesh is part of releasing the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. And this is from the Amplified Version. We read it, but I want to look at it again. Walk and live in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So to overcome the flesh doesn't require discipline. It doesn't require casting out things. It requires walking in the Spirit. Now, there's sometimes things have to get cast out. There's sometimes things have to be moved. There's sometimes we have to learn the disciplines of walking in the Spirit. But the key is to learn how to walk in the Spirit. See, there's some people who are in bondage to things and they are fighting and trying to wrestle with them, but you can't get free of them when you're fighting with the wrong tools. Amen. And we laughed about it before. I told you guys the movie The Last Samurai. The guy comes out and he's got his sword and he's learned all the samurai ways and is very noble, except there's one problem. Your adversary has guns. You bring a sword to a gunfight and you have a problem. And if you're trying to fight your flesh with fleshly means, you have a problem. Because the problem isn't the flesh, the problem is your spirit is dormant. When the Spirit is activated, when you are in the Spirit, you can overcome the flesh because you're using the right tool to do it with. So, in verse, let's go down. Let's talk about what last week we talked about, the fruit of the Spirit. So let's go down to verse 22, Galatians 5 and 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against self, such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Our job is to live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. That is how we walk in freedom. And all the talk about being in the flow comes down to how open are we to letting the Holy Spirit flow through us and live a life in the Spirit. Amen? All right, let's go to the next step here. All right, I'm going to change this up. The fruit of the Spirit, we talked about last week, has, let's not go here yet. The fruit of the Spirit has one Spirit. There's one Holy Spirit. There's one anointing from God. And with that anointing, God manifests himself in different ways. So we did talk about last week, the slide that she had up before. Let's stay here. There's three, this, it has broken into three levels. Number one, the fruit of the Spirit has characteristics toward us and God. So the characteristics between me and God, when I'm manifesting, or when I'm dedicated, and I'm putting myself in the position to walk with God, and I'm having the Holy Spirit manifest through me, it manifests by love, joy, and peace. That's when me and God, my relationship with God, is bearing that fruit. Love, joy, and peace are misunderstood because we think sometimes they have to do with other people. See, love doesn't have to do with you. It has to do with me loving you. Whether I choose to love you, whether I choose to operate that way to you, that's what love does. Love is not what you give back to me. That's not my concern, because I should get my love from God. My joy should not be predicated on whether you make me happy or not. Because when I'm in the Spirit, then you aren't able to give me the level of joy that God can give me. So I don't have to be down on you because you don't make me happy. You can't give me peace. I can have peace when you're arguing with me. If I'm tapped in, if I'm bringing forth the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. One fruit. Not many fruits. One fruit. And then when it comes to people, now we're talking about people. My job now with you is to have long suffering towards you. To have patience with you. To have goodness towards you, to have kindness towards you. That is fruit from the Holy Spirit. And finally, toward our inner man is faithfulness, gentleness, meekness, and self-control. Once again, people are trying to get self-control to fight their flesh when self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. That's why if you walk in the Spirit, you won't obey the lust of the flesh. Walking in the Spirit requires a couple things. Let's go to the next slide here. Life in the Spirit requires three things. Number one, renewing your mind constantly. Walking in the Spirit, the Word, and faith. And learning the way of the Spirit. So let's go to Romans chapter 12, verse 2. We're going to flip around to a couple of passages real quick. Romans 12 and 2. When you get there, tell your neighbor, I'm walking in the Spirit. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Don't be conformed to the world. Let your mind be transformed. Be transformed is a renewing process. It's not one time. It's being renewed. It's constantly being renewed. See, as a person of faith, you have to recognize you're getting inputs from different places. You're getting inputs from stuff that you watch. You're getting inputs from people that you talk to. You're getting inputs from different things. All those things are putting things in the atmosphere because words have power. Words have ability. Words do things. Words draw pictures. Words draw things in your mind. And when you hear things, certain things automatically start to shape ideas in your head. So the word tells us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. It means you have to apply towards renewing your mind. If your mind is warring against the Holy Spirit that is filling you, then you will always have a warfare going on the inside. I sense the Lord doing something, but I can't do it because my mind is in the way. I sense the Lord saying something to me, but I can't move because what I saw yesterday or what I heard yesterday is drawing a blockage. It's stopping the way. So I have to be attentive to renew my mind so that when new things come in, they have to get in line with what's in me or God's desire for me. The second thing is, flip over to our foundation scripture, John 7 and 38. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. This was our foundation scripture for the flow. And remember, there's two elements here. The first element is he who believes. The second element is the word, as the scripture has said. So it's not just believing to believe, it's believing what the scripture said, believing what God's word says. What does God's word say concerning you, concerning what you're doing, what you're into, what you're after? What does God's word can say concerning your circumstances or your situations? And what we saw in the book of Luke when we first looked at it is that Jesus was driven into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. So what do you believe when you face the wilderness? What do you believe when you're coming up against the wilderness? Have you renewed your mind and have you believed on him like the scripture said that if God has taken me to a mountain, that means I'm fin to move a mountain. And I didn't say fixin' to, fin to move a mountain. Do you believe that when you face the challenge that you're going to go through the challenge? When Jesus was drawn into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit, he did not say, I don't know what God sent me. He didn't say that. The devil shows up. When the devil tells him something, he says, it is written. God has said this. God has said that. This is what God has said. I'm standing on this. I'm not moving off this. Jump off of this. If you're really who you say you are, it doesn't make a difference what you say to me, Satan, in this moment. I believe on him as the scripture has said, and I'm assured that out of me is coming rivers of living water. I am assured that life is coming out of me. Now listen, I don't need life coming out of me to bless me. That means I'm already blessed. I need life coming out of me to bless you. See, the understanding is Jesus understood that when he went into the wilderness, he's already blessed. You got to go into the wilderness knowing that you're blessed. But when you go in, Satan tries to tear you down and tell you that you're not blessed. If you were blessed, this wouldn't have happened. If you're blessed, this wouldn't have happened. If you're blessed, you wouldn't feel like this. If you're blessed, you wouldn't have these problems. Nope, I got these problems and I'm blessed. I might have these problems because I'm blessed. But to understand that when you face it, there's a purpose. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart is going to flow rivers of living water. But in the wilderness, Satan is trying to condemn Jesus' heart. If you are who you say you are, if you really have the calling on your life that you say you have, then why don't you just do this? Because that's not what God told me to do. I'm not living by bread alone. I'm living by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Being filled with the Spirit. So he said the first thing was renewing the mind. The second thing is walking in the Spirit. But you've got to be filled with the Spirit to walk in the Spirit. Look at this. Verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, wherein is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Let's break this down real quick. Number one, walk circumspectly. In other words, pay attention to where you're walking. Pay attention to what's going on in your life. Don't drift. Don't let our lives just drift. Know where we're going. Understand what's going on. What's happening around me. Be attentive to what's going on. Okay? Walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise people. God has made us wise. Christ has been made unto us wisdom. Do you believe that? Christ was made to me wisdom. He's been made wisdom to me. I have wisdom because Christ is with me. Whether I think I do or not, I do. Because I believe I do. Redeem your time. Because the days are evil. In other words, Satan is trying to get you to waste your time. He's trying to get you. He knows that we have a window of time in the earth. We have a window of time we live in this earth. And Satan's desire is to get you to waste your time rather than to redeem your time. So what redemption means? Remember, redemption means to buy back your time. How do you buy back your time? Sometimes we lived a life that wasted before the Lord. Sometimes we did things in life that wasted. God doesn't say, then you got condemnation. He says, no, redeem the time. In other words, use the blood to redeem the time that was wasted. You know, let God buy back that time. Let your youth be renewed like the eagle. Don't just walk this out, well, I can't do this, you know, my season's passed. If you're breathing, your season is still here. Hey, it may not be the beginning of the season, but the season ain't over till the season is over. Amen? Carl, we play to the end, don't we? You never know. Redeem the time. Get back the time that's been stolen from you. If time has been, so here's what the word says. Again, believe on him as the scripture says. What scripture says? If a thief be caught, he must repay sevenfold. Wow. He wasted time, fine. You wasted my time, I'm getting back sevenfold. Wow. So that may not mean I'm getting more years, but the years I got gonna be good ones. Yes. Why? Because I'm gonna redeem the time. He wouldn't tell you to do it if it wasn't possible. Redeem the time because the days are evil. Therefore, be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. If he just said, redeem the time, don't be unwise, know what the will of the Lord is. What's the will of the Lord? That you redeem your time. That you be filled with his Spirit. That you not live any longer waiting for someone to bless you. The man laid at the water, waiting to be healed. And said an angel came down with stir up the water. And Jesus walks in and says, what do you want me to do? He said, Master, I'm trying to get healed. I've been laying here years and years, but every time I'm just almost there, somebody else gets in the water before me. Gets the blessing I should have got. Because only one person can get a blessing in this water. And Jesus says, I'm willing. Be healed. Would you be made whole? Lord, I'm trying to get in this water. That's not what I asked you. Will you be made whole? Are you willing to be made whole? And then Jesus blessed him. But what about all those other people that were waiting to get in the water? It's only talking about him. So you can wait for the water of blessing. In other words, for somebody to bless you. Or you can get in line with God and let God pour the continual blessing over you. You can wait for somebody to create opportunity. Or you can go to God and say, God, I thank you for your favor. I thank you for your blessing. This is why it's so important of what I was sharing with you about Transform Vallejo. You may not understand this. I'm a man who was part of a church for 27 years. And in 27 years, I visited 5 churches on a Sunday morning. 5 times in 27 years. Nobody in Vallejo knows me. Nobody knows me as a pastor. Why? Because I ministered inside my church. I was fine doing what I was doing. I didn't jump out. I never, every time I ever preached, I never told people what my name was. I just did what I had to do, sat down. I taught classes, whether there was 3 people in the class or 50 people in the class. I taught the exact same way. I just did what I was called to do. But if you don't tell people, if you don't tell people who you are, how are you going to do anything? Because I don't need somebody to bless me. I don't need a person to come and validate me. I don't need a person to come and tell me, you know what, I see a gift on you. I don't need somebody to tell me that. Why? Because I believe God. And God will author my life. You know what it says? You know what the Bible says? It says a person's gift will make room for them. People don't make room for you. Your gifts make room for you. And your gifts will bring you before great men. Not people. Your gifts will make room for you. See, sometimes we have been persuaded that we have need to do everything the world system says. We need to get somebody. You need to know the right people. You need to do this. You might need to do those things, but God will lead you to the right people. God will author that for you. God will do that for you. God will cause people to notice you who other people want to get noticed by. I told you guys a story. I'm minding my own business, working in my own office. And a lady comes in and says, the director of the organization is on the phone. I said, oh, no, I was at my desk. I was in an interview. I was conducting an interview. And they interrupted the interview and came in. He said he wants to see you right now. I'm interviewing people right here. No, he said, drop what you're doing, whatever it is. Come right now. So I went to his office. And they took me out of obscurity where I'm not even working in any kind of environment. And they took me and they put me right next to the person second in charge of the organization. Now, how did that happen? I didn't politic for it. I didn't brown nose for it. I didn't walk around telling anybody this is what I desire, this is what I want. I didn't do any of that. How did they find me? Because your gifts will make room for you. And you have to know that you have the Spirit of God in you and that He will give you favor past your experience. He'll give you favor past your understanding because He will grant you understanding. He will bless you in times when you don't expect to be blessed. He will author your way. And so when we're looking at this, don't get drunk with wine, just get full of the Spirit. Don't let the time slip by. Just get full of God. Let God start to operate in your favor. Let God start to do things in your favor. Let God start to work in your behalf. Getting drunk with wine. It doesn't say don't get drunk with wine because it's wrong. It says don't get drunk with wine where it is dissipation. You're going to get drunk and get happy and it's going to float away. It's only going to hold for so long. Be filled with the Spirit. Why? Because the fear of the Spirit is a flow. When they came out of the upper room in Acts chapter 2, what does it say? Men must be drunk. Why? Because they had the same things. What? They were in no inhibition. I'll say whatever. I'm out here. I'm not worried about what you think about me. I'm doing what I'm called to do. Well, you must be under some influence if you don't care what other people think. Yeah, I am. Influence of the Spirit. Amen? Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Let's go to this next passage. Ephesians 5, 20 and 21, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Amen. The third thing, and we're going to close with this, is to learn the way of the Spirit. We're going to skip the passage in Jude. Write down Jude 17, 21. Go take a look at that when you get home. So we're going to skip that for now. But I am going to have you go to the next passage. So write down Jude 17, 21. It kind of goes with the issue of walking in the Spirit and learning how the Spirit operates. So that's the passage. We're going to go to the next Spirit passage, which is Isaiah 30, verse 21. So we want to renew our mind, walk in the Spirit, and learn the way of the Spirit. Sometimes people ask, well, how do I know what to do? How do I know when God is talking to me? Isaiah 30 and 21, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Wherever you turn to the right hand or to the left, or wherever you turn to the left. Nobody can tell you or explain to you what the voice of God sounds like. Sometimes we want somebody to explain it to us, but you can't understand it with your mind. You shall hear, your ears will hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. See, the Holy Spirit will whisper in your ear and tell you things. I said, well, how do you know that was God telling you to start a church? It's the same voice that told me everything else. Except this voice required something from me. It required me to leave a place where I was comfortable and do something I wasn't comfortable with. Amen. It required me to leave my place and step into a wilderness where nobody knows me, I'm unknown, and I have nothing but me and the Spirit. That I'm driven into the wilderness, and I gotta face some temptations, and I gotta face some battles, and I gotta face some things I don't wanna face, and I gotta do some things I don't wanna do. I gotta say some things I don't wanna say. I gotta go put my feet places I don't want them put. However, I have to go knowing I've been filled with the Spirit, and that when I go in, whatever God says to move is going to move. Whatever God says to do is going to get done. Whatever God has said, it is going to be. And when I have confidence in God and God alone, that's the only way to make it through this wilderness. That's the only way to get in this side and come out on the other side with power. See, so like I said, some people want power without going through the wilderness. But you got to know, you got to let yourself get filled with the Spirit. How? By having your mind renewed. By learning to walk in the Spirit and by trusting in the voice of God. This is the way you should go. Walk in it. This is the way to go. Walk in it. But I'm scared. Walk in it. I'm confused. Walk in it. But I don't know what's going on. Walk in it. But you know what they said about me? Walk in it. But they're talking about me. Walk in it. But I'm too old. Walk in it. But I'm too young. Walk in it. But I don't have the right connections. Walk in it. Walk in it. See, we know what God told us to do. We know what God has said about our lives. We know. We want to deny it. We want to avoid it. But we know what God has said. Don't let what other people say God talks to people about is what God's talking to you about. Don't let that get clouded. Don't let it be that you're confused by, oh, well, am I called to be an apostle, prophet? Forget all that foolishness. Because if you're one of those, it will just show up. Somebody came to me, I'm an apostle to the nations. Do you believe? I said, I believe that if you are, we will all see it. Amen. Now, what can I do in your first minister's training class? Just now coming to minister's training and tell me you're apostle to the nations. Why are you worried about being apostle to the nations? Do you know all the books of the Bible yet? Walk in it. So I'm worried about all this other stuff. Walk in it. If you are what you are, all will be made known. Why? Because your gift is going to make room for you. gift is going to make room for you. See, the church has gotten caught into all kinds of things that have to do with position and title and membership and everything else, and none of those things are anything Jesus ever told his disciples to be worried about. Walk in it. Walk in what? Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Father, we give you praise. We thank you for the word. We thank you that you teach us the way that we should go. We thank you that as you show us the way, we will be obedient. We will walk in the way. We thank you, Lord, right now in the name of Jesus, that we're breaking free. Breaking free. Walking free. Walking out. We thank you for the wilderness ahead of us. And we thank you this wilderness is going to reveal who we are. We thank you that as we enter the wilderness, we enter it with boldness and courage. We thank you that we're not afraid. We know that you're with us. We thank you that we have declared that the flow of the Spirit is upon us. And we thank you that you've given us your word and you've given us faith to endure and to walk through every challenge. So we give you the glory and the honor for these things right now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Praise God. All right. Here's what we're going to do. I want everybody to stand on your feet for a second.